John 3:16, and I'm going to skip over, you know, the nice little review and go online and listen to Sunday, and you'll find out how we arrived at this place tonight. But let's read John 3:16 and 17, and then we're going to go to Hebrews 12. Are you there? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now go with me, please, to Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, when I shared that on Sunday, I also shared from the Douay Rheims version in verse 12 where it says, set aside every weight and sin which surround us, and let us run with patience to the fight proposed to us. But we're going to talk about tonight, I want to deal with the first part of that scripture, where it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I'm going to ask three questions, and then I'm going to answer them. First question is, what is the weight? Because it says, lay aside every weight that so and the sin. So the weight can't be just the sin, because it says every weight and the sin. So my question is, what's the weight? Why are we carrying it around? And why does sin so easily beset us? Especially when we know that we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. We know, thanks be to God, who always giveth us the victory. So why is it that sin so easily takes advantage of us? Those are questions we need to answer, because it's slowing us down. And we're not getting where we should be, because we're weighted down and we're entangled in sin. And the Bible says that sin so easily besets us. There's something wrong with that. We're going to have to turn that around. So you know how I start out. I start out looking up words. So I looked up weight. And in the concordance, it says bulk of mass, hence a burden or a weight, okay, an encumbrance. The dictionary defines weight as the amount or quantity of heaviness or mass. And both of those were fine. I'm like, I could take those and run. We could work with these definitions, Lord. But he said, no, you're not finished. Keep reading. Well, online, there's also a dictionary version called the World English Dictionary, and it defines weight as an oppressive force. And when I saw that, I just knew that's where he wanted to go. I said, oh, I could see that, Lord. Yes, I could see us laying aside every oppressive force. And he said, I'm still not done. He said, that's good too, but that's not it. Keep reading. So I went further down, and there's a dictionary called the Medical Dictionary. Listen to this definition. Weight is the force which, the force with which a body is attracted to Earth or another celestial body. And I looked at that and I'm like, okay, that's good. And he said to me, he said, you didn't get it. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And so I read it again. And I started reading it out loud. And then it hit me. God showed me that one of the weights we need to lay aside is our attraction to worldly things, worldly desires. Yeah, you're starting to see it now, right? And other things that are not of Him. See, there are some things that we do that aren't necessarily sin at large or in general. But because it's not what God told us to do, to us it's like sin. See, what do I mean by that? Well, if God, if you decide you want to go on the corner and witness right down the street from your house, and God told you, go to Columbia and witness, and you don't go, you're sinning. Even though you're doing good, even better than that. God told me, I heard him clearly, join the youth fellowship. I said, I'll be a host. I'll be a host. Because I liked, at that time, I liked children aged 6 to 10. And we didn't have anything other than children's church. And he didn't say join children's church. He said join the youth fellowship. Because if he said children's church, I'd have probably went. That's the age group I liked working with. I coached football at that age limit, and I was comfortable with them. But he said youth. And I said no. And it wasn't working out well for me. I felt weighted down. But when you start to think on that, it starts to reveal some things to you. And if you're like me, it starts causing you to examine yourself and some of the things that you're doing or have done or are about to do. And you have to ask yourself, what's motivating you? Are you struggling? We've sat down, Pastor Ed and I, and Pastor Ed and Pastor Sarah and I, we've sat down a number of times with someone who told us, no, we know what God said. Well, if God said it, there's proof. If there hasn't been any proof in years and things that keep happening that embarrass God, so to speak, somebody needs to make an adjustment. And I can guarantee you the person that needs to adjust is not God. Will you agree with that? Okay. But I'm going to show you in a few minutes why sin has such an advantage over us. But look at Mark 4. I shared this on Sunday. Don't let me share it again. Because we're talking about how we get attracted to this world's way, this world's things, this world's promises. In verse 19, in the Amplified version of Mark 4, it's all part of the parable of the sower. We've read it a number of times. It says, then the cares and anxieties of what? The world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. The Philip says, the worries of this world and the false glamour of riches and all sorts of other ambitions creep in and choke the life out of what they've heard, and it produces no crop. Another translation says, the attractions of this world and the delight of wealth. And one says, they think about the things of this world. And they want to get money and other things to be happy. These things push the message out of their hearts, and no good comes from it. No good comes from it. When we wind up being attracted to and by the things of this world, no good comes out of it. At all. At all. You can't try and justify it. You can't use the sign, you know, be patient with me. God's still, no, he's not finished with me yet. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said, it is finished. So that means if we do everything it is finished accomplished, we wouldn't have these issues. But for whatever reasons, we don't. I need to show you an illustration. Who wants to help me? We're not going to do illustrations all the time. I need you to walk around with some stones. So you want to help? Okay, yeah, come on. Okay. All right. So right now, not a magician. These are empty. Nothing up my sleeve. Okay, all right. We'll just put that on you. Put that on you. Put this one on you. Okay. Just walk around. Just do a little lap around. Pretty easy, isn't it? Not hard at all, right? Okay. But see, as you're walking around, you're looking at things, and you see some things out in the world that you start thinking about. And you start saying, I should be having more money than I have now. Now, I know God said he would supply all my need, but something's not right here. I need more money. You took a weight. Okay? You took a weight. Yeah. And that by itself is not too bad, right? You can handle that.
Yeah, no problem.
But you come back and you start thinking about some other things.
More money.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, more money. All right. Now walk around to take a lap around. Just thinking about it. That's all you have on your mind. You need more money. More money, more money. Gotta have more money. Now, let's say you have children, they need to go to school, and the world says, you know, you got to apply to at least 5 colleges, and you start looking at the cost of those, and you might start thinking again, I need more money. Come on. Okay. All right. Oh, we better put these in this side. Okay. All right. Go, hold on.
Almost balanced.
Almost balanced, okay. How'd you feel walking around now? Okay. But you know something? You saw a commercial, and you realized that your car was about, you know, 10, 12 years old. 15 years old. And you saw another car that you might like.
Yeah.
So you start thinking about that. You forget that my God shall supply all my need. You go down there and you finance it. And now you're upset because now you need even. But God is trying to get you to go up that aisle, and you all weighted down.
That's right.
Starting to sweat there a little bit.
Yeah. Costing more money.
Thank you. I'll just let you drop them off right down here. Thank you. Okay. How's it feel now with no weight on you? As a matter of fact, I need you to keep these. If you don't mind, I need you to keep them. Because we're going to get back to you in a little bit. Okay. All right. You get the picture? All right. We walk around and we just pick up weight. We don't consider what God says. We just do it. We just pick it up and carry them around. Yet the scripture says, lay aside every weight. It doesn't say, pick up more on your way. It says, lay aside every weight. How many of us can honestly say that we have the same happy, loving, caring disposition when we were without sleep for 12, 15 hours. Okay. Or maybe you haven't eaten. You know, even though God told you to fast. Okay. And you're in day 3 of a 10-day fast, and you encounter someone that's not fasting. I could feel like I need to back up a little bit from some of you. What about if you were stuck in traffic for 4 hours and it's raining? Or how about this one? It happened with Pastor Sarah and Rose traveling back. Your flight gets canceled. Okay. You're sitting in an airport for 12 hours. What have you picked up along the way? What happened to your joy? What happened to, I got the love of God in me? What happened to that? The word in you got choked. What happened to my grace is sufficient? My God shall supply what? All my need. What happened to it? It got choked. Because you started focusing on worldly things, worldly thoughts, worldly desires. We didn't think then, well, maybe I'm here for a reason. God told me, go on vacation. I'm like, thank you very much. He said, go to Orlando. I'm like, all right. He said, drive. I'm like, what are you talking about, God? Drive. I told Deacon Phyllis, God said, let's go to Orlando. She was like, all right. I said, he said, drive. She said, what? I said, that's what he said. And I said, God, I thank you for providing us with this Taurus, but it's got some leg room, but I don't see myself driving a Taurus from Nanuet to Orlando. And he said, I didn't say you had to. I'm like, okay, well, we're talking the same language. Okay. I said, but okay, but I want to spend a little more than $300 for the rental. Now, this was like 8 days. And so I said, all right, where do I go? He said, Hertz. I'm like, they're the most expensive one out there. So I started looking at Avis and Dollar, you know, and I'm like, I'm not paying these prices. God said, Hertz. I call Hertz. They happen to have a sale. I was supposed to get the big Ford. I forget what it was called then. Grand Marquis. $307, tax and everything. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Rained. Phyllis had to go to school because we weren't deacons then. I was picking her up in the city. Pick her up at 2:00, we're all set. I go to the dealer, I told him I want the car by 12. I knew I wasn't gonna be there by 2, but I figured this way, if I tell them 12 and anything goes on, by 2:00, we're fine. They delivered the car, 4:30. And they brought me a Taurus. And I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. But I'd already been talking to them. As a matter of fact, that what I said wasn't accurate. That was after we were ordained. So I'd been talking with them, and I said, yeah, I'm Pastor Greg, and we're talking. So now they know that I am Pastor Greg. And they're watching how I respond to this. I'm talking to the gentleman. And he's telling me, no, it's on the way. It'll be here 15 minutes. And I'm looking at the time, and I'm like, this is 2 hours. This isn't 15 minutes. And everyone there's, yep, if I were you, I'd sue him. I'd make him give me a free car. And
So what are you going to do? I'm like, oh, God's got it covered. He knew this was going to happen. The guy's looking at me. Huh? I said, God's got it covered. When I came finally and I saw it was a Taurus, and I said to him, I said, I'm sorry, I already own a Taurus. As a matter of fact, we have two. I don't need to rent a Taurus. And the guy, he apologized. I said, all right, now what are we going to do? He said, well, they had to send two people to deliver the car. And he said, the guy came. He came in an SUV. And he said, this car really goes for that time period. It goes for about $1,400. I didn't say anything. I said, well, this isn't the car I asked for, and I need to go. He said, well, I would give you the SUV. He said, but I haven't cleaned it. I said, I know how to take it through a car wash. It doesn't bother me. And he said, I'll give it to you for the same price. I said, that works for me. The other guy was, he was like, I never raised my voice. I'll be honest with you, I surprised me. I really did. I surprised me on that one. But what I kept thinking about, if I act out ugly here, I'm going to be driving on the road. See, I don't know about anybody else. I'm not getting on an airplane. I'm not getting in a car. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not right. If I got strife or something in me, then I'm a danger to myself and someone else. I got to get it right first. Because I could put a whole lot of people at risk if I'm not right. So there's some things that I had to lay aside. But here's where it comes from. Because I was, all right, Lord, why? You know, why are we picking up these weights? James 1. Again, this isn't any, I'm not giving you anything new. Verses 14 and 15, I'm going to share it in King James and the Phillips. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by something someone else did. Oh, it doesn't say that? How many of you wish it did? Okay. It says, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. The Phillips says, a man's temptation is due to the pull of his own inward desires, which can be enormously attractive. That's why, if you can remember, before Christ, you got yourselves into some situations, myself included, and you just had a compulsion to do so. You thought about it and planned, and the opportunity came, and bang, you were right there. Why? Because it was inside of you, and it was this pull, and we weren't in Christ, so we couldn't resist it. So we just went with it. But for whatever reason, now we're believers, and we sometimes are guilty of the same thing. And just taking a moment from Sunday, we, instead of going to our faith account and doing what the Word says, we go and pull from our doubt account and do it the world's way. And then wonder why we can't seem to get out of this rut. And someone told me once that the difference between a rut in the grave is the dirt in your face. And we put ourselves in a rut because the Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin. So if we're carrying around the weight of this world, are we operating in faith? So what's present? Sin. If we're carrying around the weight of the world, we're going to go right into sin. That's why it says, lay aside every weight and the sin. Yeah, we have to get rid of both of them. So the real simple answer to that is we carry it around and pick it up and carry it around because we want to. Because we choose to be attracted. We have an inward desire that we haven't done anything about. And how do we nurture it? Well, not my notes, this has popped in. Usually it starts by watching questionable programming. And then it escalates into watching wrong programming. I mean, and then it goes even further and you may watch explicit programming. And then you wonder, why am I feeling this way? Feeding on it. And you're not saying, you know what? I'm putting this aside and I'm burying my face in what the word says. Father, I repent for having those thoughts, for that desire. I repent. And I'm building up my faith. I'm building up. I'm resisting this thing. And I believe your word that says when I resist the devil, he has to flee. But first, I have to submit myself to you. So, Father, I am submitting myself to you. See, when we do that, then we're fine. But we get so easily beset because a person, understand this. I'll say it this way. Just tying back into the scripture that we looked at in Mark 4. What happens when the word gets choked? You become unfruitful. So a person that's full of the word can resist sin. It's almost as if the sin nature has been taken from you, or at the very least, arrested. So you no longer have a compulsion to sin. But now the word in you gets choked. And the sin nature is now free. And there's nothing in you to control it. Because you allowed the word to be choked. You allowed the source of your power to be cut off. And now you find yourself being ensnared by sin and you get confused because you don't know what happened. Like, this isn't like, you ever did anything or said anything and said, this isn't like me. Yeah, and it happened quickly. Has anyone quickly lost their temper, raised their voice? Folks, that shouldn't happen with us. God, I've been listening to the things Pastor Red has been teaching. And at times I'm asking myself, why am I letting this stuff rise up in me? I need to spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. I need to spend more time meditating on some scriptures because this shouldn't be coming up in me. I mean, it's what Pastor Sarah shared with me out in the lobby. I had to go and find out why I'm feeling this way. Instead of getting excited because I'm not doing anything about the feelings, we fail to realize that the feelings get strong enough, it's going to come out. Because if it doesn't, your eyeballs will probably pop out of your head. Because you'll just build up that kind of pressure, something's going to blow. We have to get to the place where we understand what's happening because a person full of the word is no longer a slave to sin. So if I'm filled with the word, sin can no longer easily beset me at all. And I'm not carrying around any desire or attraction to the world or what it has to offer. So what do we do about this? Because you know all is not lost. First thing we need to understand is 1 John 2. Let's go there. I'm going to share this out of the Message Bible. This is really a potent weapon. The Message Bible puts it right out there. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. The love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. See, I never considered that part. When we allow the word in us to be choked, the love of the Father is also being choked. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. This is how the Phillips translation puts it. It subtitles it, "See the World for What It Is." Never give your hearts to this world or to any of the things in it. Simple enough. Never give your heart to this world or to any of the things in it. A man cannot love the Father and love the world at the same time. Here's why. For the whole world system, based as it is on men's primitive desires, their greedy ambitions, and the glamour of all that they think splendid, is not derived from the Father at all, but from the world itself. The world and all its passionate desires will one day disappear. But the man who is following God's will is part of the permanent, cannot die. Cannot die. So after we consider that, we have to understand James 1, verses 16 to 18, and I'm in the Message Bible. It says, "So, my very dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven." That just told us a mouthful. See, because things that come are desirable. Just because they're desirable doesn't mean they came from heaven. If it came from heaven, they'll be desirable and beneficial to you and to someone else. That's one way you can tell right away. If it's just desirable, as Pastor Judy always says, you better check it. Because if it's not desirable and beneficial, chances are good that it didn't come down from heaven. And if it didn't come down from heaven, where'd it come from? Where'd it come from? Okay. So while the world will offer that which is desirable, God will give what is desirable and beneficial. Okay. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Now, do you remember what we read earlier, that one of the things that come in and choke the word is the deceitfulness of riches? Okay. In that verse, in James 1, 16 to 18, in the Message Bible, it says, "There is nothing deceitful in God." I need you to say that. Say, "There is nothing deceitful in God." Okay. There's no, you don't have to say this. "There's nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all of his creation." So every good gift, every perfect gift, every desirable and beneficial gift comes where? From where? It comes from God. Okay. Then we need to do what Jesus said. He said, well, he said a lot of things. Yeah, he did, but I'm specifically talking about Matthew 11. verses 28 to 30. And this is the expanded Bible. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired, weary, and have heavy loads, overburdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So if you find yourself in that position, you just need to come back to your first love. He said in verse 29, "Accept my teachings." That means be obedient to what he has said. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, heart, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept, because my yoke is easy, the load I give you to carry, and my burden is light." See, when we do that, we're no longer encumbered about with weights. And if we're not encumbered about with weight, guess what else is not there? Sin. No weight. No sin. See, it sounds so simple. It does, because it is. It is. See, some of the weights that we have, you know, we did money, just wasn't written out that way. It just kind of happened that way. But some of us, we're weighted down with unforgiveness. I mean, really burdened down. I mean, it's like you have on concrete shoes. It's so heavy. And you can't have a conversation without talking about what someone has done to you. Could have happened 20 years ago. Person could be dead. You're still carrying it around. Carrying, harboring unforgiveness. And wondering why you're not moving further into the kingdom. Wondering why God's not using you the way he told you he was going to use you years ago. You're harboring unforgiveness. Some of us are in positions of authority, and we're harboring unforgiveness and carrying, holding grudges and all kinds of stuff with people, and we're wondering why we're not moving, and we don't understand that not only are we not moving individually, but the company, the corporation, the church, the organization, whatever it is that we are associated with, because we have position, that's not moving either. Why? Because we're holding it back. God placed us here to advance his kingdom everywhere. That's why you're in the job you're in, whether you like it or not. God placed you there. Why? To take them to another level. Well, they won't let me preach. He ain't say do it by preaching. Be the best employee they ever had. Period. Well, they won't let me hang an I Love Jesus sign up. You don't have to have an I Love Jesus sign hanging on your wall. You're a living epistle. Let them see in what you say and do that you love Jesus. And the weights will fall off of them. Remember what Jesus told us? First, I'll say it the way Pastor Clinton said it, because I never forgot it, the way he said it. First, take the apartment building from stuck in your eye, and then you'll see the little twig that's in your neighbor's eye. Okay. But if you don't take the apartment building out of your eye first, you're going to hurt somebody. I mean, just think, you have this long thing in your eye, you turn around, you take out a whole pew. Okay. That's not the kind of power we want them going out under. We have to, folks. It's crucial that we understand. We must choose to lay aside everything that has to do with the world. You can research scriptures in Colossians that says put off, put away malice, wrath, filthy communications out of your mouth. All of those things are weights. They're all weights. Unforgiveness is a weight. Not walking in love is a weight. We have to put those things off. First of all, because God said so. That should be first and foremost. But right next to it, there's a place he wants to take us. And it's, you know, when you take your bags to the airport, they weigh them. Because in order for that plane to take off, it can only have so much weight attached to it. Well, the kingdom principle is the same. Only there's one difference. See, the airlines will allow your bags, they'll allow you to have a bag up to 50 pounds without charging a fee. God's weight limit for baggage is zero. Why? Because Jesus said it's finished. So I just need, Willie, come away, Willie, with all your weight. And the sin which so easily beset you. And you choose, right now, just for purpose of this illustration, I'm Jesus. And I said, give your weight, give me all this. I'll carry it. You don't have to. You take my weight. You take my weight. And now you run this race that I called you to run with patience, keeping your eyes on me, because that's where your faith will begin and end. No weight, no sin. I'm done. All right? Thank you. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, as I said earlier. Thank you, Father, that our burning desire is to be vessels fit for use. Our burning desire is to be accurate representations of who you are and who we are as your children. Thank you for showing us yet another way to accomplish that. Father, right now, we repent for all of the weights that we've picked up. We repent for all of the worldly desires that we allowed into these bodies, into our hearts. We repent, Father, for allowing other things to come in and choke the word that you so graciously placed in us. And we commit from this day forward, Father, to be weightless when it comes to the things of this world and to sin. And we're going to fill ourselves with your word and let our faith soar so that your kingdom will advance. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.